Today is May the 25th, 2021. I'm Jen Widener with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library, conducting interviews for Pandemic Perspectives. Jeffersonville residents recount their lives during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. This project was made possible with a grant from the Indiana Genealogical Society. I'm here today with Carrie Beth Collins, local artist. Carrie, do you remember when you first heard about the coronavirus, COVID-19?
Yes, it was in February of 2020. That's pretty much when I first heard about it at work. And I think that's when most people started hearing a few little inklings about it.
Did you think it would come to the U.S., let alone Southern Indiana?
I worked with somebody who was very paranoid about it. So, yes, he felt like it was going to change the world. And
that's right.
He was right.
What was your occupation at that time?
I was a dental hygienist, and we were right there.
So you were right up in people's business.
Right up in there getting sprayed on, spit on, and there was very, very little, if almost zero, guidance from the American Dental Association at the time, because we were all doing all this for the first time. Everybody was just learning about it.
So how long was it before you all started taking more precautions than normal?
Well, basically, I went to work on March 16th, and on March 17th, we shut down. And
was that because of the stay-at-home order issued by the governor?
Yeah. So St. Patrick's Day, it was, you know, I saw patients the day before, and I was a little leery because we already knew that there was some things coming around. But yeah, it was just like one day you're doing your job normally, and the next day you're told not to come in for 2 months. But we were one of the first ones that they brought back, which, you know, at the time you couldn't go to the out to eat, but
right.
You could come to work and spit all over me. You know, it was a weird world.
So were you all completely closed for 2 months?
Yes,
basically
completely closed, and also just like everybody else, just trying to navigate this new way of isolating people, you know, whereas patients used to just walk in the door, they now had to sit in their car, and we had to figure out, like, how are they going to check in, and how are we going to keep people as far away as they need to be. And so we were not in the office, we weren't seeing patients, but we were there trying to figure out how to see patients and trying to do some training on how to fit our masks and how to, it was really difficult trying to get gowns that would cover you from your neck to your knees and face shields. And
so getting PPEs was an issue.
That was difficult. You were only allowed so much, and then you were asked to use so much more. And thankfully, places like Maker 13 here in Jeffersonville, thankfully, places like that stepped up and said, hey, we know you need face shields. Let's make some for you. And so they were some of the first places that we were getting these.
Because you couldn't get that kind of stuff. Even in the medical field, it was...
Oh, you know, you had to order on Amazon, and then you had to wonder if it was going to fit. And then sometimes the order might say, oh, we'll get it to you in 3 weeks. And then it's like, oh, sorry, it's going to be 6 weeks, and you're expected to go to work, and you have to wear all this new stuff. And
you had to change all of that stuff after each patient.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to, garb up, and, you know, I went from wearing, you know, my scrubs and regular tennis shoes and, just like a lab jacket that buttoned up the front, and they call them a level 3 mask, which is just basically what everybody's wearing, the disposables. So you went from wearing that to all the, you know, the same clothes, but over the top of that, another gown, a KN95 mask, and then a level 3 mask over that, a face shield and a hairnet, and something to cover your shoes. So you looked like you were from outer space and you're trying to breathe and talk and see, and everything's foggy and yeah.
So during this time, you decided to leave that profession.
Yes.
So you'd been a dental hygienist for how long?
22 years.
22 years. And was it the pandemic that made you leave, or was it just time for a change?
It was the pandemic is what was the tipping point for sure. It's a good thing that I'm germophobic too, for all my patients, for that reason.
Yes, for sure.
But aside from that being a scare and me having autoimmune issues that I just wasn't sure about returning to work.
There were so many unknowns and things were changing almost daily about what we should do, what we shouldn't do.
Right. But, you know, a lot of those people I saw for 22 years. So I saw them, some of them, four times a year for that many years. And now you're saying, I can't hug them and I can't really have unnecessary conversations with them. I can't ask them about their family. I don't know if I said hug them or not. I can't accept their gifts. You know, some of them would bring me tomatoes out of their garden and just different little sweet things like that. That was the highlight of my day, and that's what kept me going all those years. And when all of that changed, it changed the profession for me. It lost its
personal touch.
Yes, exactly. And one of the dentists that I worked for, he was over the top and wonderful, and he was really great about it all. And then the other dentist I worked for kind of had that mentality that he kind of made fun of me for wanting to have the extra PPE there, and which is what we were supposed to be doing. And, you know,
but in the end, I mean, that's what saves so many people's lives that are in the medical profession.
Exactly. So, you know, between the one office that was handled it really great, I knew that we were my group of people, since I had been working at that same practice all those years, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to see some of them for so long because they were in the age group that wasn't allowed to come in yet. 65 and older wasn't allowed. I think they all opened that up in August, maybe. So from May to August, the patient pool would be lower. And I just knew it was just like, it was okay, it's time. You know, it's just time to pivot. And if anything 2020 taught us is it's a great time to change things if you need it.
So what are you doing now for your job?
Well, I decided to go full time with art. I'm a painter. I did that the years all the art shows closed. But the good thing about having that extra time is, you know, I had always been a hobbyist. I started painting about 20 years ago, and it was just a way to unwind after work. And I got to take it from that to actually legitimizing it to being a real business. So right now, there's still not a ton of art shows. There's some of them coming in. There's some of them still canceling for the fall. It's just, it's hit or miss. But I attended my first art show last weekend, and people were just so happy to be out and so excited to see artists again and to walk around and have that art show experience that it's really, it was hopeful for me, you know, to see that again. So that's what I'm doing now. And I'm doing the not so fun stuff, like right now where I'm learning how to do spreadsheets and bookkeeping and
the more business side of
social media and the things that aren't so much fun. But I'm preparing that for whenever I'm doing bigger shows next year so that I'm not scrambling to learn those basics. So it's been kind of like the world hit the pause button for a minute, and I felt like, you know, it was a good year to pivot and learn because it's a whole different career for sure. Like, I never even had to use email for 22 years of learning, you know, of doing dentistry. Never even had to use that. And I go from that to now I work for an artist nonprofit also. And, you know, I was like meaning to reply to the entire group. I would just reply to like one person. And then, you know, I had to figure email out. I had to figure some really basic stuff out, how to build a website and just, that's what I'm doing. It's fun. I feel like it's an education, except for I'm going to the University of Google right now.
But there's so many things out there to help you, right?
There is.
Figure things out. And
yes. And as much of an introvert as I am, meeting people through the artist nonprofit that I work for has been really helpful because I have learned more about social media and websites and all that. and they know about doing the art shows and how to survive those, the outdoor ones especially, that I've always been hesitant to do. So we give and take. You know, it's kind of, I call one of my friends, I call her my art wife, because we just talk all the time and we share information, and that's what I've been up to lately.
So do you think that you yourself and other artists have used COVID to help them cope and to become more creative and maybe try a different form of art?
A very small percentage. So a lot of artists, they're used to just doing the thing and selling the stuff and doing the thing and selling the stuff. And when all the art shows closed down, a lot of them felt uninspired because they didn't have, you know, you can create all this stuff, but it felt like, what for?
Who's going to see it?
Right. Or, you know, so that was one thing, is a lot of artists felt really uninspired. They felt paralyzed by, just like everybody else did, by the fear of, running out of toilet paper.
What's going to happen next? Yeah.
Running out of food. How do we get groceries? A lot of artists really, really struggle with inspiration, and some of them still are, but you know, now that they have a few shows on their calendar, some of them are starting to get back in their studios again and starting to create. Other ones, they were like, you know what, since I'm not going to be at art shows, I'm not so busy, I can't stop for a minute, I'm going to experiment with this new medium, or I'm going to try something else. But a lot of them were at a loss. Artists are terrible at keeping books. A lot of them are. So they didn't have really a way to show their income,
right,
to apply for unemployment. A lot of them were struggling with that. So that's a lesson to any future artist listening to this. Learn how to keep your books, because, you know, if you have to prove your income to be able to get unemployment, you're self-employed. You've got to keep those necessary things because they ask you for them. So yeah, a lot of them were struggling with that and just kind of paralyzed by fear. But then, of course, you saw on different social media how there was some artists who were just like playing concerts on their phone, streaming on Facebook.
Yes, there was a lot of that. And just anything to keep going and show people that, you know, this isn't the end of the world just yet.
Yeah.
We're still moving forward. And
yeah, I remember I was really sad when I first left hygiene. It was like I didn't know what to do with myself. And I was organizing the heck out of our house. Like, I got to a point where I was going to take a label maker and like label our fuse box in our house I was like, whoa, I need a different hobby, you know, because you can only organize and clean.
I need a different outlet.
Yeah. So one night I had a painting that I had started back in, I don't know, before the pandemic hit. And I just decided to keep working with it. And as I painted that, it was almost healing for me. And it was really ended up being about kind of how, even though there was so many bad things going on, there was still so much beauty. You got to see a lot of nature returning.
The world got quiet for a while.
Yeah. We all took a break and a breath, and it was kind of on pause for a minute. And so, like I said, a lot of nature started returning. Animals that they hadn't seen in different places were thriving, and we all slowed down a bit. You know, I quit coloring my hair. I mean, things I never would have thought I would do in a million years. Just, we all started living a little bit more simply, and I think that we're all kind of tricked into thinking that we need more than we do, and we don't need as much as we think we do, and that proved it. That, you know, living a little more simply isn't always a bad thing. So that was my big takeaway from that.
What are some things that you would, hopefully, that you will continue to do after the pandemic? Like some things that you learned from the pandemic that you're like, oh yeah, this is what I want to keep doing.
Well, I would like to really learn how to manage this art thing. When I was a hygienist, I used to think, oh, I get off work at 7, I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat, I'm going to paint, you know, and that's what I always dreamed about doing. And I never really had a good reason to stop. I loved what I did. I loved my patients. I loved everything about it. And I hope that this continues for me. If I don't explore this, I think I'll regret it the rest of my life. So I gave myself a couple years to try it out. And if it's not for me, you know, if I get out there and I hate being in a tent sweating all day and getting rained on and freezing to death and, you know, all those unexpected things that that I don't like, I could always go back and work for somebody else. But I feel like this is something I would really like to give a shot, and I hope that it continues to be what I need. We all need purpose. And I feel like I hope that I can find that purpose within myself more so than working for somebody else. But I don't know. I'll figure that out.
Oh, and the pandemic was like the perfect time to just change and see what's going to happen. I mean,
yes,
we all had to stop for a while, and you were one of the brave ones that's like, let me just see what this is all about. And
it came with some, it felt like everything kind of fell into place because a long time ago, I actually got the book here at the library. It was Dave Ramsey, Total Money Makeover. And I started his system back in 2007 and followed it through. And if I hadn't made all those sacrifices that I made during that time, there's no way that I could try this because, you know, the starving artist myth is real for a while. Any kind of job, when you switch over, there's always a lean time.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're working for yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And you have limited funds, you know, because I don't take money from our account. I this is a self-sustaining thing. So I had to learn how to market myself and do it on a budget and continue with that. So
that's it. Well, and you made some wonderful masks during the pandemic.
Yeah.
What was your inspiration to do that?
Well, okay. So a lot of the companies out there were selling masks, and I just got on one of them and they had the software, and I just uploaded some paintings, and I'm like, hey, I kind of like my stuff on masks. And I just shared it on Facebook, like, hey, this is just cool, something to do, because, you know, we were all just like sitting around kind of bored some days. And people were like, oh, are you selling those? And I was like, not planning on it, but sure. So it turned out to be something really great for a minute. And now, you know, most people have plenty of masks at this point. But yeah, I broke out a sewing machine for the first time, and I'm trying to find elastic on Amazon, and it was just a weird time. And I'm glad you're doing this, because, you know, I meant to keep a journal during that time and never did. So I can't wait to go back to listen to some of these things, because I'm sure one day I'll be digging through something and find that mask and be like, ooh, I remember those days.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, we can get through this. I'm thankful for science. I'm thankful for the break. I'm thankful for seeing who people are for themselves, because a lot of people, their true selves really came out. And I'm thankful
for better and for worse.
For better and for worse. And I think that sometimes we have so much noise in our lives, and I don't like the fact that I've lost family members to it. I don't like the fact that how much suffering it caused for so many people, their businesses, and it, but I do think that we all needed that break for a minute to kind of see what was important and to miss people. I don't know about you, but there's so many times I'll have plans with friends, and they're like, oh, well, I don't feel like it, or how about next weekend, or they'll just kind of back out. And since we had that nice long break, I have less of those friends canceling now. People are starting to make it a priority to see the people that matter.
Yeah. Even us introverts are starting to be like, yeah, I could go out, maybe, yeah.
I could use a little people in my life. I could
use some people around me besides people I've seen for the past 12 months.
Yeah, I am thankful for that we all got a little bit of a break to see what was important. And like I said, we also got to see people for who they are. And I think anybody who could keep a positive attitude during that time, man, I want to take a little dose of that every day. It makes you appreciate when things are really good. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Well, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.